Greetings, saints of God, and thank you for tuning in to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my Lady of Joy, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Blessings to you and shalom to all. Isn't it wonderful to still experiencing the joy of the Lord regardless of what's going on around us?
It sure is. All right, this week we are finishing our study in the book of Zephaniah.
We are, and of course you can catch up if needed, because all our studies are archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net. So let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, supreme being over all, we magnify your name, and with sincere gratitude we thank you for your word that brings light to our souls. We pray miraculous healings on those suffering afflictions who are called by your name. We pray for wisdom, discernment, and boldness to be the best witness to increase your coming kingdom. We continue to plead the blood of salvation over our loved ones. We pray for those being persecuted for your gospel, and we thank you for your divine protection last week against President Trump, and may he be worthy to fulfill your will on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Trump was targeted again.
Yes, and Ryan Ruth was actually has a lengthy record, but is sitting in jail thanks to an area witness. You know, God seems to be watching over Donald Trump.
And we will continue praying for his protection. Speaking of which, your thoughts on Trump's debate last Tuesday?
Well, depending on one's political bent, each was a winner. But we all know how often Kamala lied, which baited Trump to use his time for a rebuttal instead of making her answer important policy issues, especially about her flip-flops.
So maybe he could have done better.
Yeah, but it's important to point out the liberal monitors are close friends to Kamala, who in fact only checked her. In fact, they never checked her and checked Trump five times. And there was a lot to check on her about, but especially her flip-flopping on fracking, which, by the way, they never mention the high regulations that she attaches to her fracking, which restricts the process and absolutely intentional.
Yeah, I wish Trump could have played past videos of her previous statements.
Yes, that would have been very good. But to those who are not politically savvy or who hate Donald Trump's personality, she came off as confident and certainly well-prepared, and ABC did not ask hard questions or even come back when she avoided the very first question of, are people better off today than 4 years ago?
Yeah, she never answered that one.
Right. Instead, started giving us her bio. And she did the same thing word for word practically in her local Philly interview last week. But Trump did have a great finish by asking her why she hasn't done all these wonderful things she says she'll do in the 3.5 years that her and Biden have been in office.
When people get a hold of that, they should vote for Trump.
Yes. But there is no doubt in my mind they are going to cheat. And one of those ways is through absentee overseas votes that is not mandatory to give an ID and can as well use any address they choose, which of course opens the door for foreign actors. Anyway, I'm writing a more detailed synopsis of this in our next newsletter, which should be out next week.
That is alarming.
Yes. We will continue to say, never forget, God is in control and will fulfill his prophecies.
Which could mean that Kamala gets in.
Yes, it could. And since we like to tie in current events with scripture, I could see Kamala as the Jezebel in 1 Kings 18 that also says, all who eat from her table will be judged.
And this Jezebel does want to give away Israel's land.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. I think of Nabal's luscious garden, 1 Kings 21, a type of Jerusalem. In fact, Naboth refers to his garden as his vineyard, which we know is a term for Israel, Isaiah 5 verse 7. So yes, she does plan to steal Israel's land, openly calling for a two-state solution with East Jerusalem, where sits the Temple Mount, as the Palestinian capital.
A lot of typology in that story.
For sure. But the best is Jezebel's demise, exactly as Elijah had prophesied. And I'll say it again. Isn't it great, as studiers of God's word, that we know the end of the story?
Yeah, just one of many blessings.
Amen.
And how is Israel doing?
Well, first of all, as you know, Israel has had it with Hezbollah. So today, Israel scrambled Hezbollah's communication network with explosions that injured hundreds using advanced remote technology in Lebanon. Actually, approximately 70 devices exploded at the same time, as in the phones, beepers, etc. They say it was a high-level cyber attack. And there has been talk of Israel actually invading them as well.
Looks like now would be a good time.
Right, since most of the communication between the terrorists is dismantled.
And in Gaza?
Looks like Hamas has been defanged, just a few left holding the remaining hostages. What the IDF is dealing with now is that when the IDF gets close to the hostages deep inside the tunnels, Hamas starts to kill them, as we saw a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it is a tough situation.
But Hamas still wants the same deal, with the number one demand being Israel to leave entirely without safeguarding the territory, so they can reconstitute, of course.
Which, of course, is non-negotiable with Israel.
But besides Gaza, Israel really has their hands full, as we said last week, in the West Bank too, which borders Jordan, who has been slack about guarding its border with Israel, thus allowing weapons from Iran to get into Judea and Samaria to fight the settlers,
who are just trying to protect their land.
So last week, Netanyahu met with President of Jordan and apparently had a good meeting where Jordan will beef up its security.
Bibi also has plans to better secure the border by even building a wall.
Well, walls do help. The IDF did, however, destroy an explosives laboratory, a military observation post, and a workshop producing weapons, along with some other successes in the West Bank.
Remember, Hamas is also in the West Bank.
Yes. They are joining forces with Islamic Jihad in Fatah, many who have escaped from Gaza. So what is happening is they just moved the war from Gaza to the West Bank, which is now picking up its terrorism. But as well, the IDF command forces raided a key Iranian weapons facility in the area of northwestern Syria last week, and several other military sites, killing 14 of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So, on Sunday, Iran showed its hand by launching a long-range rocket satellite into orbit.
Which means, at some point, they can mount it with a nuclear warhead.
And if that's not enough, also last weekend, the Houthis fired a hypersonic Iranian missile into central Israel. Thankfully, no injuries.
It is a very challenging time for Israel.
Oh, for sure. But 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us a pseudo-peace is coming to fulfill Daniel 9:27, which the Antichrist will break, according to Revelation 6. Praise God, the church is leaving just before that covenant with death is signed, which will include the giving away of East Jerusalem's Temple Mount to their enemies. Joel 3 verse 2 and Ezekiel 36 verse 5.
And we certainly need to discuss Russia.
Well, first off, the United States, along with France, Germany, and the UK, are more seriously sanctioning Iran for providing missiles to Russia. However, a very serious situation is brewing in that the Netherlands has granted approval for Ukraine to use the Storm Cruise missiles it sent them on targets deep within Russian territory.
Perhaps even the capital city of Moscow.
However, Biden has not approved their use due to the repeated warnings from Putin that would cross the red line. Actually, does any country think that Putin would just sit back and let that happen anyway?
Do they forget Putin has nuclear weapons?
And has threatened to use them. Ukraine wants to be able to target Russia's military bases that are used to fire missiles at Ukraine.
Which seems only fair.
And it is. But as we said last week, Ukraine has finally entered Russian territory. But the better news is that Putin also says he's ready to talk peace. And in my mind, Trump is probably hoping that they'll wait a month so he can say that he stopped the war.
Which is why Biden might stop it first if we don't have World War III.
But I don't think so. Again, because of Daniel 9:27, although it would amplify Matthew 24 of Wars and Rumors of Wars. But more of that comes later, because I'll say it again. A false short peace is prophesied just before the tribulation begins. Paul said, again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes as labor pains, which is the Hebrew term for the coming judgment. And what is the birth from these coming labor pains?
Israel's new birth of salvation.
And you might say the afterbirth, which comes soon after, is the total destruction of their enemies with the second coming of their Messiah to set up his kingdom. And lastly, two events. Tomorrow night at 6:30 is the nationally televised Israel Appreciation Day, showcasing the many contributions Israel has given to the world. Just go to IsraelAppreciationDay.com for more details.
Yeah, I know it's also on Dish and Roku and others.
And this weekend in New York begins the UN Summit of the Future, a push to get nations to submit with signatures to a global government with the UN at the helm. How many will agree of the 193?
Prophecy just keeps coming.
Can't deny that.
Okay, be sure to send your comments or end time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006 and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure. Okay, we are concluding our study in Zephaniah chapter 3.
Yes, we are. The little book of Zephaniah. Well, it contains some of the most intense images of God's justice and love that you'll find anywhere in the prophets. It shows God's passion to protect and rescue his world from the horror of human evil and violence.
It's a great warning book.
Oh, yes, it is. He warned Judah that Babylon was coming and then skips ahead to in that day for Israel and the whole world. But as we have said a lot, through that judgment, also called Jacob's trouble, all Israel will get saved because of the war of Gog, where God reveals himself through his son and crushes those listed in Ezekiel 38. And we know by Revelation 12, when they, represented by the woman, flee to the mountains for protection from the Antichrist, that they are then already saved.
As it tells us in verse 17.
And Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of the young King Josiah after his evil father King Aman was assassinated by his own officials.
Well, both Zephaniah and King Josiah were distant cousins.
That's right, from the royal line of their great-great-grandfather King Hezekiah. Zephaniah hated compromise and gave the royal court a very strict message of their coming destruction. And probably that was during Teshuvah, as God often warns the people ahead of judgment.
And we are being warned today.
Oh, there are many signs, which really picked up since Israel became a nation. Again, when the fig tree began to blossom.
Which is our generation.
That it is. The writings of Zephaniah really are not difficult.
Very straightforward.
So even the casual reader would benefit by this knowledge. So let's read chapter 3, where we see God first describing the wickedness of Jerusalem, while again warning the people to repent before it's too late. And that really holds true today. Verse 1.
Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God, her princes.
That's a term for their leaders.
In her midst are roaring lions.
Interesting that he compares them to roaring lions. Like 1 Peter 5:8 describes the devil. Then again, Ephesians 6 tells us the power behind the wicked.
Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
Oh, and by the way, the Hebrew word here for violence is Hamas. And you can look it up. It's number 2554. Just saying.
Verse 5. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails. The unjust knows no shame.
Still very evident today.
I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate, with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant, I said. Surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction, so that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I have punished her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds.
So even after seeing God's glory, they soon returned to corruption. Now we see God saying he'll do it again in the tribulation. So let's go to verse 8.
Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nation.
And he also says that in Joel chapter 3.
To my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
Well, I want to point out also in Isaiah 26:20, he says that he will hide those who are his people, and that means the saved at the time before the tribulation begins. And he refers it to it as the indignation. And in fact, he uses that same term, indignation, in Daniel 8:19. So now he's going to exalt his coming kingdom. Verse 9.
For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language.
He's already begun that.
That they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones.
Those are the descendants from the diaspora.
Shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgressed against me.
And that's because of their salvation.
For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride.
In other words, he's going to remove the proud. Verse 11.
And you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid.
Now that sounds pretty darn good to me. So now we're going to go to verse 14, and he speaks of how they are going to be pretty darn joyous. Verse 14.
Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
Wow. Did you hear that, saints? God's going to sing with us. All right, now we're going to do verses 18 through 20, where he goes back to their present time, but he summarizes his plan for them.
I will gather those who sorrow over the appointing assembly. Who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden? Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, for I will give you fame and praise among the peoples of the earth. When I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord.
Which is the second regathering in 1948. You remember the first was from Babylon. So all is good news for them who are saved and those that will be saved. I'm looking forward to some happy days coming along. So how about you? How is your relationship? Has your prayer life been good? You know, you got to be honest with yourself. And do you only pray to God when you're going through something? Or do you praise and thank him every chance you can? Praying unceasingly at every opportunity. If you're not in conversation with someone, you should be talking to the Lord. At least in your spirit. Do you set aside a certain time for your deep Bible study? These are important questions, and we should all ask ourselves these questions because we can always improve. I don't know anyone that can't improve. And most importantly, of course, are you really saved? Or maybe you just have a head knowledge. If you have any doubts, you better start over afresh. Repent and invite him to be Lord over your whole life. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for sins. Grab it while there is time. The window is really closing. And I want to leave you with the erotic blessing in number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for those who love her shall prosper. Next week we'll start the feast, which in Israel begins October 2nd, but on the Essene calendar it actually begins tonight. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.